Bibles and go to the Gospel of Matthew. Hadn't the Lord been good to us?
Amen.
I bless His name. Our Lord and our God, we thank You tonight, Lord, for Jesus. Thank You for the Holy Ghost. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the local church, the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Lord God, thank You for Pastor Sharp, this precious flock. Lord, we got to thank You for what You did last summer. And Lord, we're going to ask You to come and help us some more. Help us again. Lord, we've had a year for trials to deepen our faith. We've had a year for the Scripture to strengthen our faith. We've had a year for experience to work patience. And patience hope, and hope making not ashamed. Let the Holy Ghost be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Thank You for all the brothers and sisters, preachers from other flocks that are gathered here. And Lord, we recognize several churches, their faces. And I thank You that, God, we can come in one place and one accord. Oh, Lord God, make Calvary real to us. Make Christ precious to us. Lord, let eternity move in this space of time. Until we forget time and, Lord God, go in them inner chambers and worship Christ. Help me for a little while. God, help us for a long time. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name and all the Lord's people saying.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all remind me the next time y'all schedule an eclipse to leave the house a little earlier. I left Ringgold at 3 and should have been here at 4:50. I can't promise I've been a good Christian, but I've been a Christian. I didn't lose my salvation, but several other people doubted my salvation. I didn't doubt it none, but I had people all around me doubting my salvation. Well, there was too many license plates that said stuff like New Jersey, Connecticut, New York. You know, the Lord understood. Matthew 12. No, I actually wasn't even stressed. I got a coffee and a half-cut tea. Rolled right in here. What a great crowd, Brother Sharp. Praise the Lord tonight. Isn't that a blessing? Appreciate all the pastors that are here. I see folks from Brother Lawson's, and they're precious people. And Brother Burke with a bubblegum pink tie. Good to see you. I've been in Matthew for some time, and I want to show you some scriptures right here. In Matthew and the 12th chapter, we have where we're at now on the other end. Matthew 12 is that chapter where the Jews reject Christ and where Christ rejects the Jews. And I'm going to tell you something about the Lord. If you reject Him, He'll reject you. That's a pretty bad deal. And this little old flaky, easy believism, little soap washed up little old bunch of contemporary boys with their little I'll pray for you and then I'll testify for you, that ain't going to cut it. I need a little help right there. If you don't, somebody else can't confess Christ for you. And somebody else can't call on Christ for you. And I'm 100% for working with someone who needs a lot of tender guidance. That's fine. We'll work with anybody that needs some tender guidance. That'll be fine. But honey, this outfit praying for the sinners and then testifying for the sinners. There's coming a day and if you ain't confessed him before men, he ain't going to confess you before the Father. And whosoever believeth on him, I think it's Romans 10, shall not be ashamed. Now we come in Romans 12, and the Lord rejected the Jews temporarily, I will say. We don't believe in replacement theology and all you pre-wrath rapture boys. I need a little help right there. If you believe the first half of the tribulation ain't the wrath of God, you need to read Revelations again. Amen. You goofy outfit. I blame it on the traffic, whatever. Huh? No, that's the bride, and we've not been appointed under wrath. And you try to make wrath begin at the sixth seal, you're really twisting the scriptures. Amen. And the only boys doing that is the ones that's tried to do away with Israel completely. Well, Romans 11 is in my Bible. Isaiah is in a nation will be born in a day. Woo! When the fullness of the Gentiles are come in, that blindness in part. The Jews believe only the Old Testament. They got blinders on that New Testament. Now they see through a glass darkly. But there's coming a day. Amen. The fountain's going to be open, Zechariah said. The whole nation will be repenting and born in a day. Thank God at Ezekiel's desert, Ezekiel's valley of dry bones going to get up and walk in that day. Amen. Hey, glory. Now, we're at the end. Matthew 12 is where the Jews have rejected him. And you can see these things in Matthew 12, verse 24. Well, there in verse 21, he starts to bring the Gentiles in. And even verse 18, he'll show judgment to the Gentiles. Verse 21, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Yes. In verse 23, the people knew. They said, is not this the son of David? And the Pharisees heard it. They said, this fella doth not. You know, I'd be careful about calling the Lord a fella. We're missing a lot of respect and reverence in this hour. Somebody needs to give your little youngin' a whooping until it learns some respect. Now, my boy is a fine boy. He's a good boy. But he said okay to the teacher last year. He didn't say yes, ma'am. He said okay. And we dealt with that. He said okay instead of yes, ma'am. We dealt with that. Some of you go attack the teacher. Some of you go attack the preacher. Oh, come on now. I've been hung up with Yankees. Y'all better help me now. You're going to raise a little rebel and going to follow in your footsteps with all that rebellion. That's why you in your ninth church in 12 years. Everybody in Knoxville knows you. That ain't necessarily a good thing. Help me right there. This fella. I told my boy on the way to school the other morning, you be respectful to the teachers, you be respectful to the elders, you be respectful to the ladies, you be respectful to the girls. And then we went in depth on why he should be. And he's a good boy. And he's doing it. But I got news for you. We got a lot of folk walking around. I just feel like taking my time. I missed the singing. Y'all are all sweetened up. This fella. What verse are we in where they said this fella? What you doing calling your pastor by his first name like he's your buddy from down the road? Y'all talk to me. What you doing disrespecting men of God that's been in your life before? This fella. I run into this a lot in our Baptist churches. People walking around with the spirit. Well, this fella. Do you know the body of Christ? We ought to love each other. We ought to respect each other. We ought to honor each other. Bible says we ought to prefer each other above ourselves. John 13, ain't but one thing where they're going to know that you're his, and that's if you have love one to another. If you have love one to another. And you know if you got that love, you ain't got to fake it. And you won't just love your friends, you'll love your enemies. That's the love of God. Get shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, Romans 5. They said, this fella. Well, I got news for Hollywood, and I got news for all the New Agers, and I got news for all the witches and wizards and all the perverts in the university city. I got news for this entire generation that disrespects the Son of God. He's coming back in a little while, and he's going to get his due honor. He's going to get his honor. Philippians 3, still in the Bible. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Thank God, that's right. My, my, these Jews. Now, you and I are living on the other end of this thing. Now he's bringing the Jews back home, and the Gentile nations are there in measure, in a great measure being rejected now because we've rejected him. The church has, not the church, but the world, the Gentile nations has rejected the Son of God. I'll tell you something. God's let the gospel go around the world more than once. And honey, you can mock the rapture if you want to, but there's going to be a trump and a voice and an archangel and the Lord himself. And you say, how's that going to happen? I'll tell you right after it happens exactly how that happens. Amen. Thank God they can mock the virgin birth. They can mock the real church. They can mock, honey. And the whole world's heard. It's went around the globe several times now. Yeah, that's right. Until nations and leaders and fathers. One thing about the radio. One thing about the television. One thing about the intranet highway. Now the nations have rejected. And you and I are living on the other end of this thing when he's bringing the Jews back. And the Gentile nations now having a scattering spirit put on them. You pastors don't worry about it when everybody's leaving your church, because that's the judgment that he put on the Jews 2,000 years ago. The diaspora is what the historian, the dispersion of the Jews. The Lord's the one that put that scattering judgment. And they went to the far corners of the earth. And now there's a scattering judgment of Gentiles. And you can't get them in church. You can't keep them in church. Can I get a witness right here? Oh, Lord. We're down to that faithful few. We're down to that tithe. He told Isaiah, yet in it shall be a tenth. We're down to the tithe. We got the cream of the crop is what we got left. You better believe that. You ought to embrace some folk before you leave here tonight. You're looking at the cream of the crop. He said, why don't we talk bad about everybody in here? Sorry, I can't. They're the cream of the crop. Amen. They're the glittering jewels going to make up that crown. Malachi, turn me back up. You had me in Baptist. You put me back in Methodist now. Get me back up there. Amen. And I got news for you. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. When was Malachi writing? You know, everything in the Old Testament's a picture of the realities of the New Testament. Malachi was that last little lonely prophet stuck all the way down. He didn't even have no predecessors hardly. And nobody following him. 400 years of silence by himself. And brother, it was an hour when the world was in deep, deep anarchy against God. And when the Lord's people were in deep apathy. Yea, even apostasy. Does that sound anything like where we're at? Where Malachi was at the end of a testament is a picture of where you and I are at the end of a testament. Woo! And he said there was a little bunch, though, that loved to get together and think upon him and talk about him. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Amen. I'm sorry, I can't be mad at nobody here. God, these are the jewels that's gonna glitter on his crown in these last days. You find a preacher still ain't quitting this hour. You ought to thank God for it. Amen. They're being disrespected in this nation. And pastors are being disrespected in their churches. There's Pharisees walking around who think they own the kingdom. And they say stuff like this fella. Amen. God knows how to trip you up and let you land on your face. There's things like car wrecks. There's things like falling off the steps. There's things like going to the hospital with one of your youngins. Y'all ain't hearing me. God gets a little angry every once in a while. He revisits that business.
Yes, he does.
This fella had a friend of mine in South Carolina. Man called on the phone. Everybody in this man's family was getting saved. He was getting under conviction. But he had more demons than he had repentance. He called the pastor, a good friend of mine. And he said, I'm heading over there. I'm coming over there to the church and I'm going to whoop you. Now the man didn't use church language. And you got to just know my friend. He pastors a pretty large church. But he's a redneck, and he didn't know you're supposed to quit being a redneck. Every time, I can't start to tell you his funny stories, but he said, well, just come on over here. He said, the Lord will help me or I'll help you or something's going to. And you know, the fella was making his way over there and driving crazy, trying to get to the church. And he cut somebody off and the fella pulled around him and pulled him over. And there's ladies and children in here and I'll be mindful of that. The old boy that pulled this fella out of the car dealt with him in a strong manner. Try to remember I'm in church. And left him on the side of the road. The man that was going to go whip the preacher left him. And he wasn't conscious when he left him. And the old boy left his business card with a note. This is my home address if you want some more of this. You might be a redneck if. If you leave a... Well, the old boy never... the church to whip the preacher. And I'm going to tell you something. I mean, I didn't have this in my notes since I don't have any notes tonight. I didn't have time to pray for y'all during the singing. This spirit we got of being irreverent toward God's house, the body of Christ, when you act out and show yourself, you're hurting that church. You're hurting that body. There's God's people in there, and they're paying a high price in this hour to have real church. Why would you make it harder when you're supposed to be one of us? Why would you make it harder? You got that spirit, this fella. It's the spirit you got. This fella. You probably act like that on the job too. Talk to me. Let's keep reading the Bible. I'm in Matthew 12. In verse 24, we're talking about the Jews rejecting Jesus. This fella. And honey, when you start talking like that, you start acting like this. They committed the unpardonable sin. I'm going to say this quickly. I'm not going to teach this. I'm going to try to say this quickly. I'm not even sure that you could commit the unpardonable sin in the hour that we live. The unpardonable sin, more than likely, is a dispensational sin. These Jewish leaders looked at Jesus, here's the key, knowing that he was the Son of God. And they pointed at him in order to persuade the people politically not to follow Jesus, simply because they did not want to lose their own kingdom, their own power, their prestigious position. And they tried to persuade other people that this man's operating in the power of the devil, Beelzebub. I'm not even sure you can commit the unpardonable sin. It's when you're looking at the Son of God, knowing who he is, and you tell other people that he's full of Satan. Now if somebody here says, oh preacher, I'm afraid I can't get saved. I'm afraid I've committed the unpardonable sin. Somehow I've blasphemed the Holy Ghost. I want to say this to you. The Apostle Paul was a blasphemer. And he obtained mercy because he did it ignorantly. In unbelief. Unbelief is not the unpardonable sin. Resisting conviction is not the unpardonable sin. Being ugly to the Holy Spirit is not the unpardonable sin. We've all probably been guilty of everything I just mentioned in one way or another. I'm going to tell you something I'm ashamed of, and I'm embarrassed to talk about it, Brother Sharp, but I got to talk about it for a minute. I hope the children don't, I hope they forget what I tell them. But I was so full of devils as a teenage boy. I shook my fist. Brother Jamie, you ain't going to believe this. I tried to do that. That's how close to hell I was, Brother Tim. I tried. I said the awfulest things to Jesus and to the Holy Spirit. And he didn't pay me no attention. He said, you speak like a foolish man. Come here. I'm going to give you another hug. He said, you speak like a foolish man. I appreciate J. Harold Smith preaching God's three deadlines. And if you can receive this, I hope you can receive this. In the hour he was preaching was the last great harvest in America. In the 40s, the 50s, the 60s. That thing was done in the 60s. It was the last great harvest. And he probably was talking to people. If they did walk out, it'd been their last chance. In the terminology, the semantics, let it be whatever it was. But he was given warnings that were relevant. I understand what was going on in that hour. God's men had an Elijah spirit on them before World War II. And the men that lived before World War II and were called and anointed before World War II, until they died, And a lot of them, it was in the 50s, 60s, 70s, before that generation died. And when that generation died, Israel was reborn in 48. And the two world wars had served their purpose to arrange and rearrange the nations and the Jews. And there's God's men discouraged all across America because we don't see the results them men saw. Well, you don't need to see results. You just need to see Jesus. Just be faithful in this hour. Amen. There was an Elijah spirit on them. There's an Elisha spirit on us. They ain't no near as much judgment falling. About everything Elijah did was judgment. And it looks like in this hour God ain't judging nobody. Everybody's getting away with everything and everybody's going away. Brother Jamie, looks like they're all going away and they're getting away with going away. It looks like they're getting away with, whereas that generation I'm talking about, nobody got away with nothing. God did kill them before they got to the house. They did drop dead of a heart attack the day after. You don't see that kind of stuff now, because that drawing power and that judgment's turned to the Jews. And he's nearly done with the Gentiles. That bride's at the door. The wedding music's playing. The friends of the bride are adjusting her hair and tweaking that earring. Amen. Amen. Heavenly ushers got their hand on the doorknob. The groom's standing at the altar. The doorknob's turned. Three people are peeking. Woo! That's where me and you are at. He just ain't doing much with Gentiles anymore. The fullness of the Gentiles. She's about ready to walk in. Yes. There ain't no more jewels to put on her. And honey, he's turned back to the Jews for the most part. And in turning back, has he turned his back? See? In turning back to the Jews, he just about got his back turned to the Gentile nations. And they're getting away with anything they want to. For now. For now. For now. But he hath appointed a day in which he'll judge the world. And Paul told Timothy, some men's sins are dealt with right away. Some men's that go beforehand. And some men, they follow after. I want to say something. Good to still see you. God bless you, brother. You and your mom and dad. Good to still see y'all. I'm going to tell you something. Thank God. There ain't no sinner going to get away with sinning. It will be recalled here in a little while. And ain't no saint going to go off somewhere and God forget what they did. He's going to revisit men's sins, sinners' sins, and he's going to revisit saints' service. Because in this hour, not only I'm about to run what I'm about to do, we need more eclipses. It helps me preach. Well, I got news for you. Oh my, in the hour we live, it looks like sinners are getting away with sin, and it looks like nothing's being rewarded for what saints are doing. There's very little that looks like this is paying off. Woo! J. Errol Smith ain't the only one preached a great message back in those days. R. G. Lee preached on payday, someday. And if you're on that broad way, that's bad news. But if you're in that narrow way. That's good. There's payday someday. Amen. There's a payday someday at the end of the way. My. Woo. Good Lord. You going to make me cancel 3 weeks of meetings again? Lord of mercy. Oh, my. I mean, if we do it again this year, I'm just going to tell them boys in Kansas, click your heels. I can't help you this year. Drop the house on the Wicked Witch of the West. Pick up Toto and click your heels. I'm staying. Oh, look at there at Matthew 12. They reject him, and he rejects them. Oh, my. We need to go back and talk a little bit. Holy Ghost don't want me to leave that just yet. A lot of folk agonize through long night hours when devils visit in the witching hour. They agonize, oh, Lord, have I committed the unpardonable sin? I'm pretty sure it ain't even possible for you to commit the unpardonable sin. And let me tell you something. Anybody that God has turned over to a reprobate mind, they are not tore up about it. If you're sitting here and all across the South, because of Calvinism and fatalism, it's been preached. Because of bad doctrine, a lot of people can't go to sleep at night, and the old devil comes torturing them. And says, you've probably sinned against the Holy Spirit until he won't save you. I will promise you, anybody that's upset about that has not even come close to being turned over to a reprobate mind. The greatest sign you've been turned over to a reprobate mind is if you laugh when we mention it and spit in our face and say you're glad. You're glad you've been turned over to a reprobate mind. Somebody that God's done with, he makes them done with him.
Yeah, amen.
And our nation's slammed full of people not committed the unpardonable sin, I don't think. We're talking about being given over to a reprobate mind.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
Mm. And so I offer you comfort and consolation in that. If you're upset about your eternal soul, so is the Lord.
Yeah, that's right, bro.
If you're upset about it, he's upset about the fact you're upset about it. Woo! If you're confused about being saved, that means you are. Because if you is lost and upset about it, you'd be under conviction. And being under conviction is nothing like being under confusion. They're daylight and dark. They're different as that sun and that moon that crossed over us today. When you're lost and under conviction, you don't doubt that you're lost. You know it so real, and you only know it for a little while. And you say, oh God, I'm lost. He says, well, not now. The very moment you look to me to fix that, I fixed it. And after that, then, if you're under confusion, it's prolonged and it's agonized and it's torturous. And the very fact that it's confusing is how you know it ain't conviction. And if it ain't conviction, then you ain't lost. If you fought with confusion for years, congratulations on your personal salvation.
Amen. Amen.
Because fighting with conviction is what lost people do. And they know they're lost. And when you don't know you're saved, it's very different than knowing you're lost. Woo! I had no idea I was going to look at Matthew 12 and 13, but the unpardonable sin was in there and I forgot about it. I knocked on a man's door in Stark, Florida, right near the Florida State Prison where I pastored. And I said, sir, I'm a gospel preacher, Lauderdale Baptist Church. He said, I wish I could get saved, but I can't get saved. is about 26. I said, what do you mean you can't get saved? You'd be the first one I ever met willing to talk about it that couldn't. He said, oh, I wished I could, but the Lord ain't dealing with me right now. I said, sir, you've been fed a line of bad doctrine. There's a gospel preacher on your front porch telling you that you need to get saved, and you're telling me that God ain't dealing with you.
Amen, brother.
A lost man has zero discernment on the operations of the Spirit of God. There ain't a lost man alive that can discern the movings and the operations, the methods of the Holy Spirit of God. In the world, you think you know if you're under conviction or not. A lot of y'all talking about these things is because you're in the family of God.
Uh-huh. Amen.
The natural man knoweth not. Said, so, sir, you've had bad doctrine preached to you. And if you actually wanted to repent of your sin and believe in Christ, if you actually wanted to, you already did. When he said, I want to be saved, I said, if you really want to be saved, he done saved you. If you're lost, it's because you're loving two or three other things more than you love the Lord. And you're lost because you want to be lost. And you're feeding me a little line here because you ain't wanting to get saved. You say, you talk like that? Yes, I talk like that to the man. There's 25 sweet preachers out there. They'll come along and sugar him up. This fella, look at that unpardonable sin. Come down to verse 31. And I love this line here. Matthew 12:31's probably got the strongest and the sweetest in one verse. Would you look at that first line? All manner of sin. And what? All manner of sin and what? Blessing shall be forgiven me. I mean, if the other part of that verse wasn't in there, you'd think this would be the most wonderful gospel promise in the Bible. And it is, but it also contains the greatest warning. I'm going to run through that again one more time, Brother Jamie. We're in Knoxville. We're in the deep south, and there's been so much bad doctrine. For one reason, there's a bunch of these boys pastoring churches ought not be pastoring a church. Because there's a whole lot of churches shouldn't be having church anymore. The Lord ain't been there in 40 years. They run off Jesus a long time ago, and that's why they got to keep calling somebody's nephew.
Well, yes, sir.
Why they keep calling Billy Bob, come back to that church for the third time? Because you keep running off God's man. Come on now. Oh, bunch of these jackalopes got no business holding the Bible, wielding the sword. They ain't been properly ordained.
Amen.
They ain't been sent out by a spirit-filled church and a spirit-filled pastor.
Amen.
Somebody's little cute nephew.
Yeah. That's good.
Shove him around in any business meeting they needed to, and that's why they called him.
Yes, sir.
Y'all the one made me get stuck in traffic with Yankees. This ain't my fault. And a pink tie and a pink tie, I mean, and I'm orange. Whatever helps the love off. I'm in Kentucky, I have a blue tie. When I'm in Georgia, I have a red tie. When I'm in Alabama, I wear a big elephant in the trunk. Just no shame. No scruples. Oh, I have news for you. The reason there's so much bad doctrine, we got, we ain't got many real preachers around. I'm going to float this out here while I'm here. Don't want to hurt everybody's feelings, but I do that sometimes. You churches get full of the Holy Ghost and start giving right, you can get your preacher over there where he ain't got to do nothing but study and pray. That first time probably got it right there, Brother James. At first it felt like it took, Brother James. Amen. My, my. There's a bunch of bad doctrine being preached by a bunch of bad preachers. These fellas don't know how to preach Christ, the Savior. Oh my. Alright, let's see what else we can find in here. Dear time, I've been up here 33 minutes. My, my. Can I give you the outline? What the Lord, I never have preached this. This is a recent study, as in last week. I want to show you four things happening at the end of chapter 12. I'll probably be done preaching in 15 minutes. I'm just going to mention these. I see, and he said, them Gentiles, see it at the end of verse 18, he'll show judgment to the Gentiles. Verse 21, in his name shall the Gentiles trust. I don't have this Bible marked up. Maybe in there more. Maybe in there more. But these Gentiles. And by the way, at the end of chapter 11, verse 28, he gave them that one last invitation. Come unto me. Come unto me. I mean, honey, he'd showed him his credentials in chapter 1. Showed him his power in chapter 2. Amen. Fought the devil in chapter 3. My, my. Chapter 4 showed them miracles. Chapter 5 through 7 showed them the mountaintop sermon. 8 and 9 showed them all the miracles. And then 10 and 11, he's trying to show them one, come unto me. Oh, my. Oh, my. He said in verse 7, I will have mercy. I'm in Matthew 12. I'm trying, well, there's so much in here I've been studying. You see verse 3, he brought up David. Chapter 1, David's called the king twice. He's showing them he is the king. I may have to preach on that one night. He was their king. And he brought up David here on the day that the king went into the holy place and served the bread. On the day that David was a priest and a king. He's trying to show them that a greater than David was here. A king and a priest. Oh my. And you know what he's quoting in Matthew 12, 7? But if he had known what this meaneth. In verse 6, he said there's one here greater than the temple. Dear time. Got news for y'all. There's one here greater than your church. My daddy pastored nearly 50 years. He got up in Maryland, pastored one time, big old church. And oh, Lord, they thought they'd called a puppet, but they ended up with a preacher. They come to run him off. Daddy made this statement, if y'all loved your Jesus as much as you loved your precious little church, you wouldn't act like this. He said, there's one here greater than the temple, you Pharisees. Why, the one who is actually in his temple. The temple that the temple was pointing to. Y'all know what he's quoting in Matthew 12, 7? Anybody want to holler it out? The book of Hosea's right, Deacon. He brings up Hosea and Gomer. the promise to Israel that I'll forgive you. Your backsliding and your betrayal, your spiritual adultery. I'm willing to forgive you. If you'd only known how, if you'd only known what that meant, that I'm here to have mercy.
Amen.
Can I tell you, before a Matthew 12 judgment chapter, there'll be a Matthew 11 mercy chapter. There'll always be mercy promised. Mercy that we don't deserve. Gomer didn't deserve that. And now here's grace on top of mercy. Gomer didn't deserve being married to Hosea the first time around.
Yeah, you're right.
Much less the second time. That's grace and mercy. When he said, I'm going to need y'all to help me right here, even if you ain't religious, act like it for a little while. Save yourself a good scolding. Oh my, I'm going to say this and you better see where I'm heading. She didn't deserve to be his bride first time around. She was an old wicked fornicating whoremongering thing. Whore. And God said, I'm going to prove my unconditional love. Go yet. Go. Take to thee a wife. Don't y'all see us in that? There we were. And he came to us. Yeah, a little Gentile picture right in front of this Jewish picture. Honey, when he came and got us to be his bride, we wasn't in sparkling white, pure. We were out in the ditch, defiled and wicked. He said, I'm going to show everybody what my love is about. Amen. And then the second time around, she run off. In Matthew 11, he's trying to tell them in Matthew 12. Before you get to the end of 12. Have you not read what David did? And he will not talk about David's sin. In the New Testament, when we read what he did, it was his worst day. In the New Testament, when we read what David did, it was his best day. It was the day that the king became the priest and walked in the temple. And our king became a priest and walked into the temple. Walked into his temple. And then he went in the holy place and broke bread. I'll not forgive y'all if y'all act like that again. Let's try that again. Amen. Don't make me stop and teach Sunday school. I said our king left his throne, became a priest when he came to us, entered into his own temple. Word was made flesh. And then he went in the holies, that was Calvary, in the 3 hours. And he broke the bread, which was his body. And he came out and fed all of us so we wouldn't die. The bread of life.
Yes, sir. Glory.
Hallelujah. Woo!
Thank you.
And that's how God does us. Under the old dispensation, he tells us about our worst. But under that new dispensation, he brings your name up. He always tells you about your best. Over on the other side, you're gonna know what all you did and what all you was. And he said, can I tell y'all what old brother Joshua did? And you may even go, oh, don't tell him what I did. And he said, one day down there, let me tell you what he did for me. Oh, it was so much like Jesus here. And he ain't going to tell nobody the bad you did. He's going to tell them the good
you.
They give out them trophies at the school at the end of the year. And they call you up for a trophy. Don't tell everybody what you did bad that year. They tell them what you did good. That judgment seat of Christ. He goes, let me tell you what Dean did. He went through an eclipse one day to get to the brothers. Didn't kill a dozen different Yankees. Wasn't that something? No, he's going to talk about the best.
Yeah, amen.
Some of you don't believe that. You say, God ain't going to talk about my best. What? You don't know that you're his youngin'?
Yeah, come on, brother. Yeah.
What do you do, go around telling everybody you don't even know how bad your child's been? What, do you do that? I don't think nobody here does that. I know what I do with my three youngins. I tell you the good stuff. Yeah, Lord, if my three was here. Oh, Lord. It's pitiful. For one, I had them in my 40s, you know. I may exaggerate. I'm a father in a grandfather gear. I brag on my youngins. If any of them was here, I wouldn't embarrass them for nothing in the world. And afterwards, I'd tell my friends some of the best stuff. He then being evil, think you're a good parent. If ye then being evil, know how to be good to your youngins. Y'all ain't helping me. If ye then being evil, how much more your heavenly Father? Tommy, you gonna tell me the best about them youngins? You ain't gonna tell me that you don't want Brother Dean thinking bad about your. You know what you're gonna do, Father? You're gonna hide the bad stuff. Woo! And you're gonna tell the good stuff. And if you think your love even gets close to His, you've lost your mind. His love. He took all your bad and carried it to the cross. He died with it. It died with Him. He died with it. It died with Him. He just didn't die for your sin. He died as your sin. He died with your sin. Your sin died with Him. Your sin died with Him. It was buried with Him. It was buried with Him. And on resurrection, it wasn't sin that got up. It was the Son that got up. It wasn't your sin that got up. It was His Son that got up. And He got up without your sin. That's the beauty of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. All of your bad went down. And all of your good, His good, came up. All of His good came up. And I know our righteousness is as filthy rags. So He just gave you His. Yeah. Acted like it was yours. Yeah. Told everybody that it's yours. Yeah. Bragged on you for what you did, what He did. You say, I don't believe that. That's why you ain't enjoying none of this. Your faith ain't there. You don't trust how gracious He is. You don't trust how merciful He is. Only reason you wouldn't believe this stuff. And I ain't even scratched. I hadn't even begun to do justice about His grace and mercy. Oh Lord, woo! I will have mercy if you'd just known what that meaneth. And you and I have the same heart today as we look around at all these sinners and our nation. Aren't we as brokenhearted as Jesus was? Because He knew it was done. He said, if you'd only known what this meaneth. And you and I are looking around at all these folks. If you'd only known the time of your visitation and the mercies of God. My, my. I want the singers to come back. The joy heirs, is that what we call them? The joiners. I want to come back. I just want them to sing. What y'all think about that? Amen. You ain't got to look down. You ain't got to feel bad. Unless you need to feel bad. If you need to feel bad, get down here and pray. Amen. He'll help you feel better. Amen. I don't want you to sing an altar call song. I want you to sing whatever the Lord lays on your heart. We've been sitting here preaching. My, my. Here's what I want y'all to do. They're going to sing whatever the Lord tells them. Some of you need to come down here and thank Him. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Bunch of us need to come down here and ask Him. I ain't scared to ask Him to do it again. I just won't go. If he does it this year, I just won't go. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all need to, I don't care where you're from. If you want to come and ask him for revival in this city, revival in this church, you come. If you need to be saved, come on and get saved tonight. If you need to thank him for a while, come on and thank him. Everybody, stand up and listen to him say. Worship the Lord. Y'all help yourself. God bless you, singers. Hallelujah. I say glory. He's had mercy. Go ahead and sing it, friend. That's exactly right. Woo! It was like old Gomer.